Turn to the book of Joshua. We continue our study this morning, series of Grow, Go Reach Our World, and we continue our journey in the book of Joshua. We'll continue in this book, Lord willing, throughout the remainder of the month of February. Do you realize this is the first day of February? You know what that means? Closer to spring. Warm weather. Yay! Joshua chapter 4. Today we're going to work toward building memories. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Chapter 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Again, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. Wade, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. I want to start with a question this morning, and that question is, what is your greatest spiritual memory? Your greatest spiritual memory. The greatest thing that God has done, that thing that you'll never forget. Most people, a lot of you will probably say, well, that's easy. That's the day I was saved. And true, you know, that is, if you're a child of God, that's got to be the greatest day of your life, when you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I'm actually talking after that. After you were saved, that time that God literally opened the door and you stepped through and you saw God work like you never saw Him before. What is that memory that you have? Or do you have that memory? Today we look at Israel, and they're on the banks of the Jordan River, and the river's at flood stage, and they're at that life-changing moment. God's about to act to drive the waters of the Jordan. They're going to cross into the promised land. And they're, you know, they're at that point of one mighty act away from God, from a change in life, from living their dream. And I want to start today with us being in that position. One mighty act of God away from living our dream. And I want us to understand the children of Israel and where they were at this point. They're going from grazing to growing. From grazing to growing. And we're going to start with their grazing. See, crossing the Jordan River was more than God just drying up the river and a bunch of people crossing over on dry ground. It marks the change, a change in life for the children of Israel. You see, 40 years they have been wandering in the wilderness. That word wandering is a very interesting word in that it literally means to graze. It was, I guess, a shepherd's term. And it would be used by the shepherds. It means to graze or to pasture. And for 40 years, the children of Israel have been grazing, and God has been shepherding them. I mean, they are not responsible for anything in this 40 years. As a matter of fact, they don't get their own food. Every morning, God rains manna from heaven. They just go out and pick it up for 40 years. God has provided their food. For 40 years, God has provided their water. When they get thirsty, on two occasions anyway, Moses struck a rock and water just comes out of the rock. They don't have to provide their clothes. I always thought it was interesting how that God made their clothes and their shoes so that in 40 years they never wore out. Have you got clothes that last that long? You'd laugh if I was wearing the clothes I wore 40 years ago. I remember the plaid pants. Do you remember that? Boy, I'm glad those things wore out. But with Israel at this point, you see they're about to go through a major life change. Up to this point, they've been like that helpless infant that the mom or the dad just always provides every need because they can't help themselves. And at this point, it changes. When God dries up the river of Jordan and they cross over, it is a life-changing event. Things will never be the same again. As a matter of fact, the manna stops. They're going to be responsible for gathering the produce of the land, feeding themselves. The cloud and the pillar of fire that they follow, it stops. They're going to be responsible for just following their covenant relationship with God. They're no longer going to have time for the whining and the complaining like little children do. They're going to be too busy taking God's promised land. It's a big change. A big change. They're going from grazing to growing. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. They'll go from following the pillar of fire and the cloud. Now they're going to be led by their covenant relationship with God. They're a people that now are a confident people that they can go anywhere, that they can do anything by the power of their great God. They're ready to fight the battles. They're a nation that's hungry to see the power of God. Now I want to stop right there for just a moment. And I want to ask you, are you hungry? And I'm not talking about lunch, okay? Are you hungry to see God move in a supernatural way? As I said just a moment ago, they're one mighty act away from God, from living their dream. And you know, I believe that many of us here may be one mighty act away from God, from building those spiritual memories that I'm talking about. The problem is, for many people, is that they never move from grazing to growing. And Paul had the same problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He told the church at Corinth, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able." My question to you is, are you ready to grow? One place we're going to have to grow is the amens. We're afraid. I believe that God wants to do great things. I'm just concerned that there are people, and I'm preaching to this congregation this morning, so take this personally. I'm concerned that there may be people who have no hunger. That they're satisfied to sit soaking sour right where they are. There's no hunger for the Word. No hunger for a deeper relationship with God. No hunger to see the Spirit of God sweep the lives of our people and work things like you have never seen before. That's where we want to go. But we can't be satisfied grazing. Oh no, Brother Doug, I'm ready to go. Are you? Are you? Last week's challenge was, what? A 10 Sunday morning Bible study. Small group Bible study. All right? Did you attend? Amen. If you didn't, my question to you is, when are you going to start? When are you going to start? You see, it's really easy to get excited and to hear messages and take encouragement. But it's really easy after that encouragement and after the messages to say, one of these days, well, beloved, one of these days is over. It's time to get with it. It's time to get off the banks of the Jordan River, cross over into the promised land. And we're only dealing in the small stuff right now. Going to Sunday morning Bible study, a big deal? I think not. I think not. I mean, that's the little stuff. And if you can't be faithful in the little stuff, what are you going to do when we get in this Grow campaign, when we get to the point that we're really challenging you spiritually? Because there's going to be some whoppers. There's going to be some big challenges. Have you went and spied out the land as we preached 3 Sundays ago? Have you been anywhere you haven't normally been in this church? Have you visited a different Sunday school class? Have you visited Awana? Have you seen the teen ministry? Have you went and checked out the college ministries? As I said before, and it's still as applicable today as it was 3 weeks ago, you need to know what's going on in your church. Go check it out. Get off the bank. God has parted the water. He's dried up the river. Cross Jordan. You see, today's the day you decide. Business as usual is not good enough anymore. Today's the day you decide to start growing. Today's the day we go from just talking about it, from signs to significance. We'll talk about the sign. I find it really neat that God was always telling them, set up memorials so you'll remember what I've done. Here, it's 12 men were to take 12 stones. Each man, one for each tribe of Israel. And they were to get them out of the bottom of the Jordan, take them over to where they lodged that night, Gilgal, which literally means circle of stones. And they were to stack them up there. And it was to be an indication that God had done something special in that place. This is where God had worked in a mighty way. The two things that happened that day, of course, God dried up the river and the children of Israel crossed over. You had both active, you see. And it was special. And that stack of stones was going to be a reminder for ages to come, even to the next generation. This is where God did something awesome. And this is where we crossed over and touched the promised land for the very first time. Those stones were to be a sign. But I'll tell you what, the thing that makes signs special is when it becomes significant. Okay? There's got to be a significance. For a sign to have significance, it must relay a message, and that message must have a personal relevance. You know, when I'm traveling on the interstate, I see city signs all the time. Big deal. But when I'm on my way home and I see Russellville, next 3 exits, I think, yes! You know? Russellville has a personal relevance to me. It's where I live. It's my hometown. For Israel, these 12 stones would have a personal relevance. It's where God dried up the water and they crossed. If the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and all the other ites of the land that were in the land, they would look at it and say, pile of rocks, big deal. But to Israel, it was something special. I want to call your attention to those special moments in your life today. I look back at my life and there are special things. When I was joined the Air Force, I'm reminded that before I joined the Air Force, I really didn't have an appreciation for my citizenship as a United States citizen. Not truly. I wasn't disrespectful, but I just didn't get it. But I'll tell you something, when you lift up your hand and you swear to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, it starts to stir something in you. See, it becomes personal then. Then when you go through basic training and the tech school and all the while, they're instilling in you a sense of pride and country. And now, every time I hear the Star Spangled Banner, guess what I do? You can always tell people who've been in the military. You can see it. See it by the way they stand when the Star Spangled Banner is played. Because it's personal. When you've spent time serving, giving your life to dedicate to the well-being of this country, it stays with you. It becomes significant to you. But I'll tell you what. You know, this country is not the only thing that's significant to me. I have spiritual significant landmarkers. And I was thinking this through, and I got to thinking about the different points in my life. Spiritual points in my life. White Oak Missionary Baptist Church, this little church in the middle of a bean field near Griffithville, Arkansas, that if you passed, you would think that's not a big deal. But every time I pass, I smile because that's where I gave my heart to Jesus. And I know if I've told my kids once, I've probably told them 50 times when I passed that building, that's where I was saved. That's where I was saved. That's where I was saved. You see, to me, it's a mark. It's a landmark of a spiritual change that took place in my life. I don't go very often to Mississippi. But in Hatley, Mississippi, there's a church called Hatley Missionary Baptist Church where I announced my call to preach. Be a special place because that's where my life began to change once again spiritually. Go a little farther. Lakeside Missionary Baptist Church in Desark is where I surrendered to preach. They probably don't even know that. I don't think I've ever told them. But I attended. You see, I announced my call to preach, and I've shared with you, and I won't bore you with the details today. I announced my call to preach, and then a few years later, I surrendered to preach. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. But we were attending services at Lakeside Missionary Baptist Church, and at that point I decided, God, I'm not running anymore. And we went home and I told Beth, I said, Beth, we're done. You're married to a preacher, and we're going to go where God wants me to go. And she said, I'm so glad because I was so afraid God was going to get me because of your disobedience. Now, she knew what was going on. New Testament. Missionary Baptist Church where I was ordained. Morris Chapel, the first church that I pastored. Pinecrest, where I began to learn how to pastor Pinecrest Missionary Baptist Church in Corinth, Mississippi. New Testament Missionary Baptist Church. I came back there and wonderful people there, but it was there I faced attacks of Satan like I've never faced before. But you know, I praise God for those attacks. You know? And please don't think little of that church. It wasn't that church. But I praise God for learning how to weather the storm there. Came to victory. And I've learned how to recognize and see the hand of God. And I've seen the hand of God move like never before. I've learned that the most important thing about my ministry is equipping saints to live to the glory of God. You know, every mark has been a step. A step in a new spiritual walk. A step in a new land. A step, an opportunity to grow. And here's what I want to offer you. To go from signs to significance to where God is actually moving and working in your life until you come to that place where you quit running, where you quit putting off, where you quit making excuses and surrender to the hand of Almighty God, you're not going to have spiritual significance in your life. Okay? Children of Israel, stepping into a new world for the first time. Are you ready? To step into a new world, a new walk with God. To go places you've never gone before. To go from memories to memorials. Let's talk about memories for just a moment. Stroll down memory lane. You know what? I remember when gas was 28 cents a gallon. Isn't that cool? Some of you are going, whoa, he's 100 years old. No, I'm not. I remember when you dialed a phone. There are kids today, if you set an old black rotary phone in front of them, they say, "What is that?" It's a phone. I remember when I was the biggest man in town when I got my first bag phone that you kept in the car. I remember when people walked, not to exercise, but to get to where they were going. I have a lot of good memories in the past. When we talk about memorials and remembering, I want to call your attention to the biblical meaning of remembering. You see, to remember in the Bible, it's not just recalling an event of the past, but it's recalling an event in such a way that it affects one's feelings, thoughts, and actions. It changes you. That's why I keep saying, this is where things changed. That life-changing event. To put it in our language, it means to live in the present in light of what God has done in the past. That's remembering. And it's very important that we remember. Because if we don't, it will lead to apostasy and it will lead to disobedience. One of the two. That's why in the book of Deuteronomy, God repeated Himself over and over and over. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to yourself diligently. Keep yourself, lest you..." What's that word? Okay, we're going to try it again, okay? "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." You'd think that one time's enough, wouldn't you? I mean, it's pretty clear. Don't forget. Don't, when you see my mighty hand, do not forget. Mark it. Remember it. Teach it to your children. But he didn't stop there in Deuteronomy 4:23. He said, "Take heed to yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourselves carved images in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you." Don't forget. Don't forget, because if you forget, you're going to have other gods before me. The first commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart. You know? You'd think that was enough. But he didn't stop there. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 19, it says, "Then it shall be that if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." You've got to set up memories. You've got to set up memorials. You've got to have those times when your life changed spiritually forever. The memorial for the children of Israel was the 12 stones. Those 12 stones were so the children of Israel would not forget that God did something awesome there. I want you today to ask yourself truly, where have you been? And what are the events in your life that has been the spiritual life-changing events? If you stop, "Well, I was saved," you're missing something. Because God doesn't stop moving when you're saved. He starts moving when you're saved. And if you can't, you know, the problem is you may be grazing. You've enjoyed grazing. But I want to tell you, you don't grow very much when you graze. You've got to be willing to cross the river, get off the bank. Willing to do things you've never done before. The first Sunday of our Grow campaign, first Sunday in January, we set up a memorial. You remember what the memorial is? I'm doing good. I've got it today. Y'all know the Sunday I lifted my hand up and was embarrassed because I forgot to put it on. But you see, this is so that every day you look down and you're reminded, God didn't give me this day to stay where I am. He gave me today to grow, to go into new areas and to pursue God deeper than I've ever pursued Him before. Not only is it a reminder to us, you know what? Other people see these armbands. And you know that? What's that? It's an opportunity to testify of our mighty and great God and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, don't quit wearing your armband. If you don't have one, we'll see if you can get one after services at the information desk. Okay? Because we all need to be reminded every day, go reach our world, grow. Personal commitment to be different tomorrow than I was today. To be stronger, more faithful. That was our first memorial. Today we're going to set up a new memorial. It's called the Grow Wall. Did you see out in the vestibule, far corner, there's this, it's kind of a cool looking wooden wall. Did you ask, what's that for? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm here to tell you this morning. That's the Grow Wall. The Grow Wall is the place that we make commitments. That we commit to growing and changing for the glory of God. Now, the Grow Wall, what we're going to do is, just beyond the Grow Wall, there's a table. And on the table, there are hundreds of post-it notes. And as we pursue this during the course of the year, we're going to take that. I'm going to ask you that as you make commitments, you write those commitments on a post-it note and you simply post it to that wall. Now, if you want to sign your name to it, wonderful. If you want to initial it, wonderful. Okay? But when you put that on the wall, you understand you're committing to grow, to change, to not be the same anymore. And you're committing to see that commitment through. You know what we're going to do when you see that commitment through? We've got a stamp. It's called a grow stamp. And you know, you may be the only one that know when you actually reach that goal, but you take that stamp's going to be out there for you to take and for you to stamp. It says, I've grown. I've fulfilled this commitment. Now, the first commitment, I'm going to challenge you again. The first commitment is Sunday morning Bible study. Now, everyone here, you say, oh, Brother Doug, I'm not committing to that. Why not? Well, Brother Doug, I might be sick next Sunday. Well, if you're sick, that's, you know, hey, we understand things come up. So if you think that way, then you should go ahead, Lord willing. You can start it with Lord willing. I'm going to be in Sunday school Bible study next Sunday morning and for the remainder of February. And you just initial it on the bottom. Okay? Now, we're not going to go through and we're not going to inspect who all's done this and who all's not. But we are going to ask you to make a commitment and live up to that commitment. Like I said, you may be sick, and God understands when we're hindered and we cannot accomplish. God understands your heart, but you understand this. When you wake up next Sunday morning, you say, oh, I just don't want to get out of bed. That's not sick. That's lazy. Get your extra sleep on Saturday. Come to church on Sunday morning. Okay? And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? You see, the big deal is becoming continually conscious of growing in the Lord. The big deal is becoming continually conscious to not sit on the banks and graze, but to cross the river where God opens up doors of opportunity and do things we've never done before. Like I say, we're starting small. Okay? Bible study, Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30 is not a big deal. We're going to grow. We're going to grow in our commitments. But I'm going to ask you today. You go over there during the course of the day. I'd suggest right after Sunday school so you do not forget. And you write down, Lord willing, I'm going to be in Sunday school. Or me and my family are going to be in Sunday school for the remainder of February. And then at the end of February, I pray that you're filled with joy as you take that stamp and stamp that accomplished, Lord, for your glory. And then, like I say, we're going to keep building on that memorial wall, that grow wall. There's going to be a lot bigger things than this. But let's start with the small stuff. Okay? Listen, if you don't build memorials, you will forget. And if you forget, you will depart from God. Today, I ask you. You know, there are probably people here this morning God's been dealing with for a very long time. Some He's been dealing with to be saved, and you've put it off, and you've put it off, and you've put it off. Well, today's the day, okay? It's time to quit putting off God and say yes. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has been leading you in another area of ministry. Maybe He's been calling you to preach. Perhaps He's been calling you to a specific ministry with our children or with our adults. Or maybe you just need to be baptized. You've never followed the Lord and took your stand publicly by baptism. It's time to get off the bank, cross the river, start your new life with God. And see God work as He's never worked in your life before. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for the day. We praise You. We praise You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your faithfulness. And we know, Lord, that we can do nothing of ourselves. But Lord, give us a willing spirit that when You open the doors, when You dry up the waters, give us a willing spirit and a hungry heart to cross over into new and fresh relationships with You and ministries with You and seeing Your hand work such as we've never seen before. Lord, today, I want to make that commitment. I want to make that commitment to follow You wherever You lead. And I pray that we as a church family will make that commitment together to see Your greatness and to be faithful in Your service. In Jesus' name I pray.